worship, and here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy and altogether wonderful to me. Here I am, say, here I am to worship.
Here I am to bow down.
The cost of our salvation is invaluable. Thank you for that which you did on the cross. Thank you because we are enjoying the benefits till now. We give you the praise, the glory. Thank you for this time of fellowship with you, with ourselves. Thank you for your tangible presence in this place tonight. Thank you for everyone online or present here. Thank you because you speak to us. You help us. This is a booster service. This is a Bible study. Help us that we might behold the wondrous things that are in your word. Let them transform our walk with you. Let them transform our devotion to you. Let it change how we think, because your word renews our mind. Thank you because we can't remain the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me very quickly to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Took a while for me to know which direction I will be going today, but I think it's good. It's absolutely necessary. What I finally believe that the Lord wants me to be speaking about the Thursday services, as it were, and I'm talking about praying amiss. Can I hear you say praying amiss? Hallelujah. James chapter 4, praying amiss. That means you pray and you miss the target. You know, so that's a simple way to explain the title, praying amiss. You are praying, but you are missing the target. You are praying, but you are missing the target. You know, when we're young, we used to play darts. And I don't know, I've not seen darts in recent times. You know, but you play darts and you set it and you throw against this, whatever it is, and you're trying to hit the target, you know. And very many people, if you are not skilled at it, you will miss the target. There's archery. For those who know archery, bow and arrow, you shoot an arrow again, just like that, except that that is with your hand. You are supposed to hit a particular target. Prayer is supposed to hit targets. Can I have an amen? So when we pray, there is a usefulness to prayer. It's supposed to hit certain targets. So there are certain things that are supposed to happen. If you've noticed over time when I speak about prayer, I'm quite passionate about it, you know. Because prayer is the life of a believer. Let's put it that way. We know the word is important, and actually the word forms a substrate or forms a foundation for a good prayer life. But you can't be a believer and not be praying. You know, you can't be a successful Christian and not be praying. Prayer may not be what you think it is, but that's maybe a topic for another time and another day. But you have to be praying. You will have to pray. You will have to pray a lot. You will have to know how to pray. And I also think that one of the big problems we have in the body of Christ is that people are praying amiss. And because we are praying amiss, it opens us up to a lot of errors and a lot of trickery of men. You know, because if I'm praying and it looks like things are not happening, I'm not getting what I want or getting what I expect, changes are not coming in, you know, diverse areas. I'm speaking in general terms now. Are you following what I'm saying? Then there's a good chance that if somebody promises me that, look, if you come here and I give you this or that, or they give you this or that, it will work. Or you come there and they just pray for you, everything you need, everything you're looking for will happen. There's a good chance I will go with that. You know, so what I'm saying is that not having a successful, I'm choosing my words carefully. Some of the words I'm using is because there's no better, I can't find better words to describe, but I believe that you understand what I'm trying to describe to you. That if I can have a successful prayer life, it opens me up to many things that I shouldn't be open to, as it were. So James chapter 4 says, where do wars, verse 1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. So you do it all with all your energy. You don't get it. You fight and war, yet you do not have. He says simply why? Because you do not ask. So he's saying that many of the things we are pushing for, you murder for, you lust after, you and all of that, he says you don't have them because you do not ask for them. So there are many benefits to asking. There are many benefits to praying. That's basically what he's saying. But many of the things we are fighting and pushing, and you know, when they talk about the rat race, you know, we are joining the rat race. We are racing with everybody else to try to get it and get there, and we're not getting it. And then when people say things like, what? I'm trying to make ends meet, but the ends are not meeting. He says you want all of those things. You do everything in your power to get them, good and bad. But you don't have it. He said, but you don't have it because you do not ask. Okay? But somebody said, I've been asking. Then he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. That's where my title is from. Praying amiss. He said, so there's also the possibility of asking, but still not getting. He said, because you ask amiss, and then he gave, you know, perhaps one of the asking amiss issues, which is that you ask with ulterior motives, okay? So there are certain things that don't happen because our motives are not right. But where, so what I'm looking at today is that around this time, the end of a year, the beginning of a year, there's a lot of praying going on. People pray, you know, so you tell them, pray about the new year, pray. Everybody wants to pray about the new year. But praying a lot is not necessarily praying effectively. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there are people who pray a lot. People are praying a lot. In fact, we've had a serious prayer wave. I mean, since 2020, thereabout. People are praying. Sometimes they're not praying. They are pretending to be praying. Okay, but there is supposedly a prayer epidemic. Okay, prayer has become fashionable now. So there's a lot of praying going on. One of my own worries about it is that there will be a lot of disappointments. Are you hearing me? That there will be a lot of disappointments, and that has a tendency to actually turn people the other way around. You get what I'm saying? I've been praying, I joined all the prayer groups, I did all of that, but things have not changed. And after they've done it for a while, there's a likelihood that I then give up and say, oh, that is a lie. It doesn't work. But we don't understand that is that maybe I'm praying amiss. Okay? So the first thing I want you to get tonight is that praying a lot doesn't necessarily transform to impact. Doesn't necessarily mean effectiveness. Doesn't necessarily bring change. It's good to pray a lot, and I encourage people, please pray a lot. Okay? But we have to know that praying a lot alone. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Praying a lot alone, you know, does not do it. Are you with me? You're quiet. You don't like my topic. Are you there? It says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for what? There are many words. So they think that because they're praying a lot, then they will be heard. So the fact that I'm there, I'm praying a lot, I've spent 1 hour, I've done all night and all of that, that means I'm going to be heard. Not necessarily so. If we look at the Amplified, let's check out one or two other versions. If we look at the Amplified Classic, it says, and when you pray, do not heap up phrases. Multiply words, repeating the same ones over and over. So heap up phrases. It's like you are finding many different ways to say the same thing. You just say them and say them, and then you are there for a very long time. It says, don't do that as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their much speaking. So they think that what's going to make it happen is that they spent a long time. Basically, that's what the Bible is saying. Okay, God's Word, I think, translation, I like how that puts it. It says, when you pray, don't ramble like heathens who think they will be heard if they talk a lot. One of the first times I got bothered, you know, along these lines was in the university. I'd had developed a good prayer life by the time I got in the university. I struggled initially when I got in because I couldn't find privacy to pray. So I'm a morning person, wake up early in the morning, go and pray. I couldn't find the privacy to pray. So that really, really, you know, affected me my first semester. And there was a lot of court activity. So getting out was a bit of a scary issue, you know. So by the time we went on a break, I told myself that I need this. It's like I'm dying. I need to do something about this. So I psyched myself up and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out because with 4 people in the room, I can't pray there. I'm not a shouting prayer person, you know, so I'm not shouting, but I'm not a whispering person either, you know, so I can't be praying. It's unfair to the people around. So I told myself I'll have to step out. So I then By the time we came back, I would go out of a room and walk far away from a hostel and go and pray. And then I, you know, again, when you do some of those things, there are areas where people usually will hang around to pray and things like that. And there was somebody I noticed who was in my class, and he also used to get out to pray like that. And that was the first time I got bothered, because over time, you know, this brother was consistent. So over time, I admired him, you know, for that consistency. But over time of getting to know him, I felt there wasn't enough impact to justify the prayer life that I knew that he had. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you here? So I felt again, maybe we are talking of less than 2% of people prayed that way, will be out there praying in the morning and all of that. And this brother was one of them, maybe less than 1%. And I was bothered about it, actually. And I would ask God, I said, why? Because I knew certain things now about him. I knew certain troubles. I knew issues. I knew character issues. I said, why? And then God pointed out to me that it's not enough just to be praying. You have to pray aright. Are you getting me? There are many myths, for instance, we have in our heads that about prayer. So this is a bit like jumping ahead of myself. But for instance, one of the things people will do when you are praying is what? They say, let us bombard the gates of heaven with our prayer today. Abi? But if you read the Bible and you look in the book of Revelations and you see the distance to the gate of heaven and the distance between the gate of heaven and the throne of God, it's almost like somebody being, maybe I don't know, just as an example, this is not Bible accuracy, it's like somebody being at Ojota Junction there, and that's where the gate is, and I'm here and you are knocking my gate. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not going to get results. So there are certain things that we have gotten into that we say, that we do, and then when people are doing that, you'll be praying and be sweating. And then you are saying to yourself, if only we read the Bible, what would we find in there? But God says, I am where? With you. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he says, I'm with you, listen, that's why the guy who shouts will be heard. The guy who whispers will also be heard. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that there are certain things that make our prayer life ineffective. So somebody was praying, and he was, you know, just praying normally, you know, normal voice level. And somebody said, you need to talk and shout so that God can hear you. He said, God is not nervous. You can shout and speak and pray. And the other man said, but God is also not deaf. Abi? So you can hear both sides. You remember Anna in the Bible? In 1 Samuel, the Bible says she came. She was praying. She was in the temple. Her mouth was moving. Abi? But the priest couldn't hear. And then the priest thought she was drunk. And he says, woman, go your way. Why are you drunk? And he said, I'm not drunk. I've come to pour out my heart to God. And then he says, then whatever you've asked God, let God grant it to you. And she had a child. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? So we have to pray, okay, effectively. Because the bottom line of praying is that it's effective, is that it gets results. So Matthew 7 and verse 7 says ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Verse 8 says what? For whosoever asketh, that's the only way I know how to quote it, is King James, asketh. Whosoever asketh, receiveth. Meaning what? Prayers are meant to be answered. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Prayers are meant to be answered. So if I'm not seemingly getting answers, if things don't seem to work, from my prayer, not we're not talking about anybody's prayer life, but your own. Okay, this is you praying for yourself. This is you praying generally by yourself. Okay, your prayer is meant to be answered. In fact, Jesus was saying in John 16, verse 24, he said, up to now you have asked nothing. He said, ask in my name that you may what? Receive. That your joy may be full. So it ought to have an impact. So when you find that people are praying, and one of the things that I'm going to do, perhaps in this as a series, is I'm going to take certain prayer points. Okay? I'm going to take certain prayer points, and we're going to look at the foundation of those prayer points, and whether those prayer points are ever going to be answered. Are you hearing me? Some years ago, I went to see somebody, and while I was waiting for him to come out, I saw this prayer book. And I opened the prayer book. It had prayer points. And I was reading prayer point one, I said zero. Prayer point two, zero. Prayer point three, zero. Prayer point four, zero. Prayer point five, zero. Prayer point six, zero. I finished page one, zero, 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 zero. I looked at page two, I said, forget it, I closed the book. Are you with me? And I said, whoever is praying this is wasting his or her time. Are you hearing me? At best, nothing is going to happen. And at worst, if you are not careful, it's going to stir up unbelief. Are you there? You are still wondering, what is he saying? Somebody once asked me that and said, help me buy this book on prayer or these books on prayer. So I told the lady, I said, honestly, I bought them very reluctantly. And then when I gave her, she's not in the country, when I gave them to her, I said, I then gave her a whole sermon. And I said, I bought these books so only so that you won't say I didn't do what I wanted him to do, blah, blah, blah. I said, however, I would recommend you throw them away. And then began to analyze for the content. Are you still there? 1 John chapter 5. So, on a good day, there are many reasons, okay? There are many reasons why prayers may not be answered. We know, for instance, about unforgiveness. But that's not even where I am in this particular topic now. What I'm talking about is the fact that if your prayer must be answered at all, it must be grounded in God's word. Can I hear you say grounded in God's word? And what I hope will happen to you, or what I hope to stir up tonight, and hopefully by God's grace, time permitting, Jesus not returning yet, we'll then be able to start taking examples, okay, of prayer points. But tonight, I'm hoping that you'll be so stirred up enough that when you hear a prayer point, you will ask yourself, what is the Bible foundation for this? Are you hearing me? God doesn't hear every prayer. Are you still there? He doesn't hear every prayer. Not every prayer is heard, and you have an expectation that God is going to do something about what we prayed about. No. You know, people even formulate prayer. We just form prayer. So they were praying some years ago, and the prayer point was, Oluwa di olobo. Abi? Kawon ota mi di ekute ko gbe won mi. Gbe won mi. And they say, gbe won mi, gbe won mi. And everybody began with, gbe won mi. Okay, so interpretation. He said, let all my enemies become like rats or mouse. And you, Lord, become a cat and begin to swallow them. I'm sure you've heard similar versions. It's a waste of time. So, at best, you are just talking. You might get tired, so you use up physical energy. But spiritually, nothing is happening. The angel himself are standing and say, okay, next one. just go through this one. Move to the next prayer, please. Maybe the next one will hit the target. But this one, waste of time. Are you with me? You're a little quiet now. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Remember, we're talking about praying amiss. So if you're going to be someone who prays, gets results from prayer, enjoys prayer, you know, because again, prayer is not just all about what I ask for in terms of tangible things. I'm asking God a prayer petition to give me something. But even in the place of prayer, just fellowshipping with God, you need to understand the word of God. For even that to be effective and even your fellowship with God to grow in the place of prayer. So for instance, when I was talking about bombarding the gates of heaven, if that's your mentality when you come to the place of prayer or when you are praying, then even your fellowship with God is not going to grow. Because you think it's a distant God somewhere that you are trying to reach. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you came in knowing that, hey, he's with me, Hebrews 13 says what? He said that, that we might boldly say, but, that's verse 6. Verse 5 says that, I am with you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you have that kind of mentality, and you have God's word, and you are grounded in God's word, and even just praying for fellowship, because there are times you just come to pray, you are not there to ask God for something. You just want to spend time with him. Then there are certain scriptures and the right interpretation of those scriptures that will make a difference in how you pray and what happens and how effective, impactful, joyful that time of prayer is going to be for you. And how you will look forward to the next one. Are you with me? Okay, so, but if you are looking at petition, generally speaking, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He said, now this is the confidence that we have in him. So take it this way. This is what builds confidence in prayer. This is what builds confidence in prayer. This is what gives us confidence. This is how we can confidently pray. This is why we confidently pray. This is why something can happen and you can say, you know what, I'll pray about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is why something can be happening in your life and somebody, even other people are worried for you and you're saying, I'll pray about it. Or you say to them, don't worry, I've prayed about it. Why would you have such confidence? How can you develop such confidence? That's what this scripture is talking about. Are you with me? It said, now this is the confidence that we have in him. But if we ask anything, can I hear you say anything? Now, that's where for many people it stops. They just ask anything. Abi? Many people just ask anything. God, I want. God, I want. And that's how some lady was praying. Can a Copeland be her husband? Even after decades of marriage to Gloria. You understand? So, ask anything. Some people stop at asking anything, you know. So people will also say, Mark 11:24. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have it. So that's what, ask anything. So people just say, whatsoever I desire. Anything that just catches my fancy, I can pray for it. That's not correct. Are you hearing me? That's not correct. It says, if we ask anything according to his will. So there's a measure. There's a standard. There's a guide. There's a regulation. If we ask anything, that is what? According to his will. He said, then he hears us. Remember what I said earlier? God doesn't hear every prayer. He said, if we ask anything according to his will, number one step, he hears. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So if you want to be confident that he heard you, then that prayer ought to have been according to his will. Are you with me? So, of course, people then go to the next question, which is, what is his will? How do I know his will? before we dive into all kinds of ways in which, because that can also take us into the leading of the Holy Ghost and all of that, but before we dive into any such complications, they are not complicated, but for many they are complicated, okay? But before we dive into any such complication, the first thing to know is that the Word of God is the will of God. Are you hearing me? Go to Hebrews 1. I know Pastor NY was quoting that on Sunday. Hebrews 1. Because like I said, when you say what is his will, how do I know what God wants for my life? He said to us in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, he said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in which days? These days. Spoken to us by his son. I think I spent some time on Sunday talking about what, when we're doing, is it Bible school or whatever, talking about the son being the word. Are you hearing me? So the very first step about the will of God is the word of God. The very first step is asking that question, how does this prayer fit with God's word? In fact, the truth of the matter is this, this phrase ought to stick with you. We pray God's word. Can I hear you say we pray God's word? That's what we do. We pray God's word. Meaning that when you study and you read things, some of them need to stir up prayer out of you. And when they stir up prayer, you ought to be praying according to the word that you have read. The word helps you to navigate in the place of prayer. What am I supposed to be praying? How am I supposed to be praying it? The word of God helps you to pray it because it helps you to know what the will of God is. And without the will of God, I cannot pray for God to hear what I'm praying. Are you still there? So there are things that God is asking you, or God says you should ask for when you read the Bible. There are things, for instance, I'm just giving you as examples, that God's word says he has given to you. So if God's word says he has given it to me, what do I do about such a thing? I thank him in the place of prayer for what the Bible says he has given to me, irrespective of my experience. So my experience might be that I've not seen it in my life, personally. I've not seen it come into manifestation in my life. But because God's word says he has given it to me, when I am praying about that matter, I need to be thanking God for what he said he has given me. Not asking me or asking him to give me what he said he has given me. Are you still with me? So, for instance, you can come and we have a prayer point that says, today we are going to ask God that he will take away the spirit of fear and give us the spirit of power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why can't I pray that? Because he says he has not given me the spirit of fear, but has already given me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he says he has given it to me already, I can't be asking him to give me what he has given me. He will just be folding his arms and saying, what does he want me to do? Are you still here? That's why John 15 becomes very important. John 15. John 15. So if you're going to pray effectively, one of the first places to start from is that you'll have to become a student of the word, and you'll have to become somebody that it matters to you what exactly God's word says as it's written. You're not going to go by your experience. You're not going to go by your feelings. You're just going to go by what God's word has said. Are you still there? So a lot of people are praying, but they are praying amiss because they are not praying according to what God's word has said. They are just praying whatever they feel like. Unfortunately, also, many times people will read the Bible and they just see something in there and they turn it into a prayer point. Whether it is Old Testament, whether it is New Testament, whether it is just a story in the Old Testament, they suddenly turn that into a prayer point that they start praying, but it doesn't mean God will hear that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say tonight? So John 15 says, John 15 verse 7, says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You know the meaning of the word abide. It means to live somewhere. Okay? So he said, if you are in me, and my words live in you. Now, when he says you will ask what you desire, again, remember what I said earlier, it's not that you just ask anything that catches your fancy. As a matter of fact, that's why he started by saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, what happens? My word changes your desires. My words influence your desires. My word shape your desires. And then you are able to ask what you will, and it shall be done. So let's look at it this way. It means that the measure of effectiveness of my prayer, or the measure of my effectiveness in the place of prayer, is going to be dependent on the measure of my, the fullness of my tank with God's word. So how much of God's word is going to determine how effective my prayer life is going to be. So there are also many people who like to pray a lot, but they don't like to study the Bible. Huh? I'm sure you've met people like that before. They like to pray a lot. They pray. If you say, let us pray 7 days, pray and fast in day, we pray, but they don't study the word. They are less concerned about the word, but they like a lot of prayer. Okay, and some of course, we've had people said to us, we are not praying this church. Huh? Okay, let me shock you. Of course, like I said, I believe in all the prayer scriptures, and I believe in praying long. Okay, well, let me shock you. You need to ask yourself and say, if you were going to raise the dead, what do you envisage? How do you envisage you will have to do it? Do you think you will have to pray? Anybody? Do you think you will have to pray? You had to go to somewhere, somebody was dead, and you believe God wants you to go and raise that person from the dead. Do you think that you will have to pray, quite a long time or significantly? Anybody? You're afraid. That's a trick question. How did Jesus pray? Eh? When he got to Lazarus' tomb, how did he pray? He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me and that you hear me. Abi? And then he says what? Lazarus, comfort. So you ask yourself, what engenders that kind of confidence? Are you getting what I'm saying? What makes somebody pray that way? I'm not saying you can't pray long or whatever, but what makes somebody behave that way? Yeah. So you must be convinced that when you are speaking, God is hearing you. So he said, thank you that you hear me. Confidence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must know it's the will of God. Abi? So when they said, Lazarus, your friend is sick, the Bible says because he loved him, he stayed 3 more days. And then he says, let us go and wake him up. The disciples said, if he's sleeping, let him sleep now. Abi? But he was speaking of his death. But why was he calling death sleep? Because he intended to wake him up. And if you wake a dead man up, it's tougher than waking a sleeping man. So he said he's sleeping. Are you there? So I'm talking about looking at how they prayed. You know, if you look through your Bible, if you look through the Gospels, if you look through the book of Mark, look at the prayer life. Look at how they prayed and see the confidence with which prayer was being said, and realize that maybe there's something we are getting wrong. Are you still with me? Because if we got it right, some of the prayers, you know, many times we will get into prayer and we're only trying to impress people around us. But prayer ought to be that when you are praying, you have confidence. That's what 1 John chapter 5 is talking about. And it's saying you only have that kind of confidence if you know that you pray according to the will of God. So every prayer point must be measured with God's word, must be assessed with God's word. What does God's word say about this? That's what will determine whether you're going to, you can have confidence that God will hear that prayer. Are you there? I said, are you there? Okay, so let me give you one more example and we'll stop. So when we want to close service, we say, let's pray that God will go with us. Are we? You're already laughing. Is that a common prayer? Is it common? You are quiet. Oh, you pray it a lot. Are we? Is that why you are quiet? Don't worry. We are killing sacred cows and making suya from the sacred cows. Is that okay? So when we pray and we say, Lord, be with us. Like I said, the best result you'll get from it is nothing. The worst result is unbelief. Is that suddenly in your mind, you might start thinking, he might not go with us sometimes. You get what I'm saying? So that can be a problem, because in my mind I can think, maybe the day I even forget to pray it, maybe he won't go with me. Okay? But the best result is nothing. It makes no difference. I'm just praying. I'm just talking. Okay? And why is that so? Matthew 28, verse 20, what does it say? It says, lo, I am with you always. Can I hear you say always? Say it again. Say always. Always means what? Always. It means he's always there. Isn't it? Abby? Or sometimes. Always. You know what that also immediately says to you? Is that you can pray all the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I like the concept of a quiet time, and I think every believer should have it. You know, where you're focused and dedicated to praying, and you try to shut everything out, and you are just spending time praying. However, when you also realize that, Lord, I'm with you always, it takes prayer out of the closet and makes it a conversation that happens all the time, anywhere, anytime. Are you there? You know, the times I'm angry and I begin to pray and I tell God, I'm very angry. I'm very angry. I'm very angry with that person. I'm very angry. Help me. Help me. Help me, because I'm very angry. Help me. Help me to control myself. Help me not to say the wrong thing, because I'm very angry. Why? Because it's with me. Are you there? And it also means that I don't need a prayer posture. Abby? You know, certain things that have made us not get it right with prayer. So, when we're growing up, Sunday school, when you want to pray, they tell you what? Put your hands together like this. And now our children's church doesn't teach that, Abby. They say, put your hands together like this and close your eyes. And then the teacher is looking. You didn't close your eyes. Why? You close your eyes. Close your eyes. You know, an angel may be passing by. Close your eyes. And then pray. Pray. And then we pray. And then many people became adults. And they started to do their hands like this. Are we? And close their eyes. Otherwise, they don't think God is hearing them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And some think you must kneel down. Otherwise, God can't hear you. You know, when you look at posture, I always like to ask, what posture was Jonah in when he prayed from the belly of the whale? Which posture was he in? Can you guess? Upside down, flat, crumpled. Which posture do you think he was in? And the Bible says what? He was in a belly of a whale. And the Bible says, and Jonah prayed from the belly of the whale, and the Lord heard him. You know, Jonah was even farther away from the gates of heaven. You understand? Because he was deep down in the river. So he was even far away, much farther away, and inside the belly of a fish. But he prayed from inside the belly of the fish in whatever posture it was, only God knows. And the Bible says God heard him. Are you with me? So while you are standing there and you are negotiating, you can pray to God. What do I say? What do I say? What figure do I give? You know, what bid should I make? And God will tell you. You know, you are negotiating, it's 500 naira. You know, the guy says 500 naira. And God says, say 100. And he says 100. And the guy goes, okay. Are you still there? First time I and I negotiated something recently. So when we were talking to the guy, we had negotiated before. And then I asked the guy, I said, how much? And he said, so I said, this is how much I'll pay. And the guy said, okay. I looked at Pastor Ewa, he looked at me. Then when we finished school, he said, okay. Are you there? But you can pray. Anywhere, anytime, in the midst of anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you have God there with you answering your prayer. Right there as you stand, God is answering that prayer. Okay? There are many times people have having conversations with me and I'm saying something else to God. And the person is responding as God is tapping him. That I'm saying something to God that you need to handle this guy. You need to, and suddenly the person changes. And I'm smiling because God is answering my prayer that I didn't have to say the prayer out. So he's not offended or anything, but I'm saying to God, deal with him. Handle this guy. Oh. You need to do something about this guy. And God does it. And I'm watching it right play out right in front of my eyes. Are you still there? Somebody said, how do you pray that? I pray that from Proverbs 25. Is it 25 or 21? Where it says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he wishes, like the rivers of water. So I'm dealing with somebody and you're just difficult and all that. And I say, God, his heart is in your hands. So handle him. You know, handle him and turn it in the right direction. And then the person just switches. And he doesn't know him. I'm not saying anything to him. I'm not saying you are an evil man. God will change your heart. Hallelujah. Did you get anything tonight? So, we ask. You don't have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive. Why? Because there's a chance that you can pray amiss. So, praying and praying long and praying even longer is not necessarily the answer. Okay? Years ago, I prayed for somebody over the phone. Undergoing a demonic attack. And I prayed over the phone. And they asked me after those who called me and put the phone. I said, just put it to her here. Let me pray for her. And I spoke, actually commanded, not real prayer. I spoke and commanded that devil to leave her alone. And then those around her put the phone and said, hey, should we continue praying? I said, if you wish. I'm going to bed. if you wish. I mean, if you want to pray, have fun with God, yeah, maybe. But I'm going to bed. I said she's going to sleep off now, which she did. Yeah, but I'm done. I've given the faith command, I'm done. I'm not even going to stay up to pray for her anymore. You know, because what needs to be done has been done. I'm not going to stay up and be praying. No. The devil won't give me a prayer point. Are you still there? Because also, you can't be praying. You know, people also will pray, God rebuke the devil. Have you heard that before? That's a prayer point. God rebuke the devil. God, Oluwa Beshuwi. Eh? You haven't heard it before? You've heard it before. God rebuke the devil. Eh? What's he supposed to do with it? he said what? When he got up, he got up and he said what? All power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now you go. Abi? And make disciples of all men. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. You know, another translation says, in my name they will make the devil leave. And then you're asking him to make the devil leave. He said, no, I ask you to do it because all power has been given. I have all the power. Now I've delegated the authority to you. So you can't come back and ask God to do it. Are you hearing me? God rebuke the devil in my life. No, you rebuke the devil in your life. Are you still there? Please stand on your feet. I'm sure. And if you want, you can send me a list of prayer points that you're wondering about. Okay? And then we can dissect them in the scriptures. Okay? If you have prayer points you have been praying or wondering about, send them and say, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? But I trust the Holy Ghost, you know, will stir your hearts enough even now. But even you, in your personal time, it will start changing how you pray. Just by yourself, in your closet, it will change how you pray. Amen. Just take a moment and just thank Him for His word. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His word. Father, we thank You tonight. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for everything. Thank You for everything. Thank You for light. Light that comes from Your word. And thank You because that word is like seed. It germinates. It produces fruit in our lives. We give You praise. We give You glory. In Jesus' name.